Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
There was a time when if you said the word Hepcat or Happy Cabbage or Fly Rink, people would know what you meant. But tell someone you're going to order a pair of drawers and they won't know that you mean two cups of coffee. Slang evolves in our language, and I want to know how and why. Why does a great word like groovy go out of style? That's what we've invited Professor Lieberman in to talk about today, and we want to hear from you as well. Is there a slang word that you think we should put back in our vocabulary? Tell me why. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, on Twitter, at Carrie NPR. Again, a slang word that ought to come back into use in our vocabulary. You can talk to me about it on Twitter. You can call us at 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. Anatoly Lieberman is a professor of languages at the University of Minnesota, the author of many, many books, including Word Origins and How We Know Them. Welcome, and you've come well-prepared with your slang dictionary. You have a couple of them, I hear.
Well, I have very many of them. There is a whole shelf full of dictionaries, but one of them, the paperback, I keep at home sometimes to look up words, and I decided to take one to the studio today because if I'm asked about these words, I'm sure I will say that I never heard them, so I will look them up, and or I'll pretend that I know them. Nobody knows slang. Of course, we all know some words, but there are hundreds, thousands of them that we don't know. I remember one of my students saying to me, I don't understand the movies of the 50s because they're full of the slang that I have never heard, and my mother doesn't understand modern movies because of the slang. So that's how short-lived slang is.
You handed me your dictionary, the one you carried into the studio when you got here, and I happened to open it to groovy, which is a word I want to bring back into use. Why do you think it went out of fashion?
Oh, there is no way of knowing. Groovy was all over the place. I still remember when everybody called things groovy. Then somehow newcomers, new slang words superseded the word groovy, and now we have other words. And you, of course, remember, though none of us remembers when it all happened, when the word cool appeared, which conquered the world, all over the world, in Europe. Even those people who know no English know the word cool and pronounce it with their own accent. Why suddenly cool? There is nothing cool about the word cool. In any way, we don't know how long it will stay. Perhaps 20 years from now, somebody in this seat will say, cool, oh, that's dated slang.
Right, you immediately date yourself. Well, I wonder if it's, you know, we've talked about with word origins how they have their time and then the words kind of vanish. Do you think it's, for whatever the reason is, it's the same reason that slang has its moment in the sun and then it vanishes?
That's probably the way it is. Very many linguists say that slang is the lab, the laboratory of the history of language, that you can see how words are born, disappear, and behave when you watch slang. I'm not sure it's really so, because slang is so short-lived, it's so volatile, that I don't know whether it should be compared to the rest of our vocabulary. I'm sure that all of our listeners, well, all is, of course, a wrong word, but very many know something called Urban Dictionary, which is an immensely useful dictionary.
It is.
It's like reading a dictionary of a foreign language. It's so disheartening.
For who, you?
And so humiliating. You read it, everything is called something else.
If only you could break the code, right, of the Urban Dictionary.
Yes.
It is like listening into a foreign language somehow.
It certainly is.
And this is a good point, Anatoly, because slang can be exclusionary and inclusionary in the way that, you know, people in a certain profession develop a language and people that aren't in that profession don't really understand what they're saying. I think slang in some cases works the same way.
Yes, that's absolutely true. One thing that should be remembered, that the word slang means so many things. For example, people, you have just mentioned professional slang, but that is not exactly slang. That's their professional jargon.
Right.
And it's very hard to draw a clear line between what is jargon and what is not. People always say, you write an application, please don't fill it with any kind of jargon. But if I need a term, for example, if I'm writing an application about verbs, is verb slang? Is it jargon? If someone doesn't know what the word verb means, but I cannot write about verbs without using the terminology of linguistics. The same thing everywhere. Or, let us say, so-called unpronounceable words, all kinds of obscenities are very often called slang. People understand that everything that is somewhat slightly substandard is slang. It's very hard to decide what slang really is. But usually we all understand what is colorful and informal and usually funny or pretends to be funny is slang. But you are quite right about its being exclusionary in so many cases. We all know there is slang that they use when children use when they're very small. Then there is grade school slang and high school slang and student slang. And you never use the slang you used 2 or 3 years earlier because you are supposed to have grown out of this type of slang.
Let's take some calls because I think we're going to hear
That will be very interesting.
We're going to hear some slang words that sound a little dated, too. I think that's kind of that it's had its moment. We've moved on. Somebody younger today doesn't even recognize that as words that everybody knew. To the phones to Sharon in Afton. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Well, my word is you never hear anymore, is lickety-split. When you do something really lightning fast,
right.
It's kind of fun to say, and it's, I don't know, I kind of get a little picture of lightning or something, lickety-split, really
right.
fast.
You're right, but it does have a dated kind of quality to it.
Oh,
right?
No doubt.
I wonder
yes.
why. Yeah.
I don't think we can say why. It just happens. It's like fashion. Oh, no, nobody wears such shirts today. What is wrong with these shirts? They were excellent 10 years ago. They were excellent 15 years ago. Why are they wrong? Well, it's just no one wears such shirts today. So that's approximately the same thing. Words, slang disappears. It's probably born to die like a moth.
Wow. To the phones to Joanne in Duluth. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I like the slang word scuttlebutt, and I became aware of it. I was in journalism myself, and now my daughter is in it, and she brought it up again and was saying how funny she thought it was and said it came from the military when they would go on break and take a cigarette break, like a cigarette butt, and they only had a little bit of time, so they had to hurry. So it was the slang was used as, what's the scuttlebutt? Like, what's going on? What's in the news?
Wow, so it comes out, you think it comes out of the military. I didn't know that. Anatoly, had you?
That is
yeah,
correct,
I know the word,
I'm
of course.
Sure.
Can be from the military. There is no way of answering the question about the origin of slang, especially without any preparation, and even with a lot of preparation. You have a slang word. Well, let us take a word that everybody knows. Is hot dog slang? Well, no longer.
No.
No longer. It certainly was when it appeared.
After was all, it?
Well, there is because, no dog meat
yeah,
in,
you're
hot,
right.
in hot dog.
You're right. There is no specific definition,
no definition
that would fit that.
As you all know, what hot dog is. A whole book has been written about the origin of the word hot dog, how it started in New York, why it was called hot dog, what kind of legends accrued around hot dog, whether anyone ever fed dog meat to somebody and so on. So to think of the origin of the word is hard. But I must say that, yes, from the military, perhaps. I have no idea whether this particular word has come from the military. But sports, that is baseball and horse racing, that is what gives us so much slang.
I was going to ask you why you think that is, because the language of sports tends to be so colorful, so descriptive. What
and
do you think?
So well known, I think.
Right.
And it's chic. You don't own a horse, but you know the expression down the wire.
Right.
So you feel that you belong to that select group of people who are really part of horse racing. You are not. You're probably a stay-at-home. and have never seen a horse in your life, but you use those expressions, oh, yes, of course, and you bet on the wrong horse. So you sounds great. You sound great. And it sounds great, which is exactly what people want. When they use slang, they want to be noticed. They don't want to mix with the crowd.
You're calling attention to yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Because if you say there is a table here or there is a cigarette butt or something, well, yes, that's a statement of fact. The fact is not terribly interesting and your language is not colorful. But if you call a spade not a spade but a bloody cudgel, then, of course, someone will take note of you.
Anatoly Lieberman is in the studio today. It's been a long time since we've talked, and we want to talk about slang today. Why slang emerges, why it has such a short shelf life, as we've mentioned. And I'm asking you for the slang word that you think we should put back into our vocabularies. We should revive again. I happen to like groovy. Anatoly, what slang word do you like especially?
What language?
No, what slang word do you especially like?
I don't know. I try to avoid slang as in general, because I'm a formal person, I'm a professor, I'm supposed to be entertaining but not vulgar, so I don't use a lot of slang. Can't think at the moment whether I have a favorite word, but I'm fond of your groovy. It's a good word.
You do, all right.
Yes,
good.
I think it's a very nice good. Word because it gives me the idea of a groove in which I am and somehow characterizes so many things. I'm not sure that I have a favorite word. I like words that no one understands, so that people are surprised when I say something. For example, I say that so and so is in a brown study.
That's, I know what that means.
Yeah, I know. We once talked about
we
it.
We did.
That means, yes,
that's
in
right.
a state of deep meditation. So
I love that phrase because it evokes kind of, for some reason, the Victorian era to me. Is that where the
I don't know.
Phrase,
I know it for Agatha Christie. So
we're getting off track here, Anatoly.
Yes, I know.
Talking about slang words today, and Anatoly and I have both agreed we like groovy and we'd like to hear more of it in our language. How about you? The slang word that you really appreciate. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, on Twitter, at CarrieMPR, to Mike in Hudson, Wisconsin. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
Hey.
I got a couple points. First, I know a little bit about the word groovy.
You do?
Because, yeah, I used to grow up in California, and I asked my father why we didn't use groovy anymore. And he told me that groovy came from the records. And the grooves that it actually played on.
Wow.
And that's where that actually originated
that
from.
That makes
and
so when, much sense.
I've heard the same story.
You have.
And then when it ended was when the records ended during the 80s when you had cassette.
Oh, yeah. Right. So it's...
And also...
Well, it was a relic. It became a relic of the 60s and technology had moved on. This makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And also, I also think that slang usually comes up with teenagers as a way to get around their parents, you know, talking in like a secret code to their friends that their parents don't quite know of.
Yeah.
So when you get generation to generation, that slang changes from generation to generation.
Anatoly, you hang out with teenagers as your students. Do you think he's right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They use a lot of slang in my presence. I usually understand it because I hear it almost every day. And sometimes I smile wryly because I know exactly what they want to say and why they want to surprise me. Slang doesn't shock me. It shocks me only when there is an overabundance of it. As, for example, in the student newspaper in our Minnesota Daily, there is a section which I read all the time, much to the amusement of my students, called Dr. Date. That is where they discuss, naturally, dating and all kinds of romantic affairs. And those Dr. Date is a mythic person who gives advice about dating. And this Dr. Date, he or she or they, tries to be so slangy that is every word is a piece of slang, and it's rather nauseating. Because
it's
I think,
nauseating. Is that what you said?
Yes, yes. Because I think slang is like chocolate and should be used in moderation.
Why?
Well, when you're hungry, you usually don't begin your dinner with chocolate. So the same thing here, though there is nothing wrong about chocolate for dessert. I think that slang, if it is something on top of your speech, if you use it cleverly and wittily, then it's funny and it's beautiful and it's entertaining. But when your speech is chock full of slang and it's nothing but slang, that is, if you speak English as though you were some sort of animated urban dictionary, then it becomes a bit tiresome.
Michelle says on Twitter, I want to bring back snazzy.
Oh, snazzy is a very good word.
I hear snazzy when people are being playful.
Yes,
right?
Snazzy is a very good word.
We all kind of know what that means, though.
Oh, yes, snazzy is a wonderful word.
Right.
I don't hear it very often, but I mainly know it from my reading. But snazzy is quite common.
Had you ever heard that phrase that I used in the introduction, fly rink? Do you know what that is?
I have a dim idea that I do.
What is it?
No, I don't. But you better say I don't want to make a fool of myself here in front of the whole
Where
world.
Where else, if not here? To make a fool of yourself, Anatole.
Well, I have a lot of places where I can do that.
It was slang for a bald head.
That is what
That's thought. What you thought? Yeah.
Yes, but I wasn't quite sure. Yes, there for a bald pate. That's right. That's exactly what I heard. But it was rather remote in my memory, and I didn't dare say it. Yes, that's what it was.
You would have been right. To the phonester, Robert in Sioux Falls. Hey, Robert. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I love slang. I read etymology dictionaries, Urban Dictionary, not quite as much, but I am familiar. So politicians and slang. Recently, during the debate, Donald Trump, used the word braggadocious.
Yes.
And, of course, people were like, that's not a word, which it is.
Braggadocious?
Apparently, braggadocious.
Yes.
Is that a word, yeah. Anatoly? It is, isn't it?
Well, yes, sort of.
Or is he mashing up two words?
Yes, from making an adjective out of braggadocio, yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't even call it slang. It's a funny word, really.
Right. And prior to that, a couple years ago, Joe Biden used the word malarkey. and that's another one that set the media off.
That's a very old word. It's a very old word, and I think it was traced to California, but I'm not quite sure. There was a man called Peter Tammany who lived in California and studied California slang, and he was wonderful. He very unfortunately, it's all in the past, I say. His articles and his little books and booklets are absolutely beautiful. I have his whole, everything that he wrote in my office, and I love reading him. And he studied these words from newspapers and usually was able to find out both the origin and the place of origin. So I think this one is also from California, but I won't say it under oath.
I think Robert brings up a good point about politicians and slang.
Yes,
do,
I think
do
so
Do politicians
too.
Have their own, kind of jargon and slang?
Yes, and they also want to be remembered because so many politicians have nothing to say. And since they have nothing to say, they have to say it in a special...
And that's not an editorial comment. That's just the truth. right?
Yes, well, that's just the result of listening to so many politicians in my life. And since they have very little to say, they have to say what little they have to say in a colorful way so as to be remembered. So
right.
If you call a spade, as I said, then who will remember you? But if you use one of those colorful words, everybody will start discussing it. Look at all those word columns. 3 days ago, 3 months ago, a year ago, so-and-so, the president, vice president, someone used such and such a word. Oh, what a sensation. What do you know about this word? So it's not the content, it's not the meat, it's just the dressing that is so important to politicians.
I think it's, Anatoly, I think it's risky for politicians, though, to use slang that they... current slang that they think is going to be perceived as, that we will see them as in with the newest culture.
Folksy.
Yeah. Or falsely hip.
Falsely
to the newest culture in some ways.
Yes.
Right? Hip, that's kind of a slang word too, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And there's a lot that has been written about this word, about this hip, and where hip came from and where hippies came from.
Yeah?
It's a great question. I never remember the answers, but I know that I have read a lot about all this hip-hop, hippie, hip, and so on. Yes, but you are right. Of course, they tried to sound, to be hip, to be with us. The main thing for a politician is to be at the level of the populace. And slang seems to be a good way of being with us.
A caller here who wants to talk about hip to Paul in Minneapolis. Hi, Paul.
Hey, you just brought the word up, but I like the phrase, I'm hip. When somebody's talking, they bring something up, you know, that you agree, you comprehend, you understand.
Do you say it today, Paul, and how do people react when you say it?
People I'm around know I say it, so, but occasionally I get, you know, some raised eyebrows like, wow, that's a bold word.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right. Yes.
Ron in Golden Valley says, slang originates in a youth-oriented culture subset. When it becomes used by the general public, then the original subset lets go of it and comes up with something new. And then he says to Anatoly, is that right?
Yes, it's right. And some of the words which we do not treat as slang was slang. For example, in Samuel Johnson's famous dictionary, that's the end of the 18th century, the word slang was not used. But he constantly spoke about low words.
Low words.
Low words.
Okay. Which are?
Slum, for example. And it's very hard to distinguish between a low thing and a low word. Slums haven't become better in the course of the last two centuries and several decades, but the word itself is quite neutral. That is, it's not offensive. You can use it in any society, and you will not hurt anyone's gentle ears. So clearly slum was slang at that time. Simply the term slang was not known to Samuel Johnson. Other than that, slum is no longer slang. But curiously, not that I can cite some examples now here that it's hard to think of anything, but there are some words which were slang in Shakespeare, and they are still slang to us. It's amazing that for 400 years their status hasn't changed, whereas other words like groovy and others have almost disappeared or not even understood by the younger generation. So it's true that slang is short-lived, but some is very tenacious, much more so than we would think.
Jeff says the cat's pajamas, the cat's meow, the bee's knees, those are kind of fun to say, but most people won't use them commonly today. And to Charlie in St. Paul. Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for hanging on. What'd you want to say?
Okay. Thanks for taking the call. Uh-huh. You had mentioned the word cool earlier.
Yeah.
And my first encounter, recollection of that, the earliest, is I heard it used, it's the name of a character, Mr. Cool, who is a valet in a play called London Assurance. It's by Dion, I'm going to misspell it, Boucicault, Boucicault, an Irish playwright. And it was produced in London in 1841. And Mr. Cool clearly personified cool, as he had to negotiate with all these upper-class characters in this comedy of manners. So that word has been around for a long time.
People start. So your theory or your background research here tells you that people started using the word cool as early as 1841?
That's probably a coincidence.
Oh, my gosh. Coincidence.
That's
probably a
coincidence, yes, because cool, after all, is a word of common English. And we all know the word, and cool means cool. So being cool, not losing one's temper, that's fine. It doesn't have to be slang. I think it's coincidence because I cannot tell you here when the word cool became so popular, but I think in my memory, I think that cool, which is now universal, is probably 30, 40 years old, not more than that. That is as a universal slang. I have graduate students who never say good. So we'll meet next week. Cool. And then you will... do you think you will read both books? I think so. They're very good books. Are they? Yes, cool. That is every... They think to know only one adjective, which makes the mastery of English a very easy thing.
Have you seen... I'm trying to remember. This is a show that Stephanie Curtis recommended to me about like what goes on inside the BBC. It's fairly new. There's one character who says cool for everything. Well, it's like he knows four words and cool applies to everything.
Sure. Sure, that's exactly it. You can get along with English if you know two or three words. Everything that you like is cool. If you like it very much, it's awesome.
Right.
And if you are very educated, then you can say fascinating.
Awesome has peaked and is going away, isn't it? When I hear that,
not
I think,
in my experience.
Really, I feel like
not
that's
in my
so
experience.
Dated.
No, not at
really?
All. I happen to read our students' evaluations. Because I had the honor of being on the merit committee in my department, so I've read what students write about us. If they like a professor, the professor is awesome. One student wrote awesome with an exclamation mark, and another professor was awesome with two exclamation marks. That is the amount of the student's vocabulary. And, of course, that student was very cool.
Yeah, and got high merits.
Oh,
for that, I'm sure.
Of course.
Anatoly Lieberman is here, and we're talking about American slang and student slang. Hey, this is an interesting question, too. Maybe you're in a profession where you have your own jargon and slang. Oh, I'd love to hear. Pull out, you know, a word or a term from your profession, your professional slang, your professional jargon, and tell us about it. That'd be fun. 651-227-6000. 800-242-2828 and on Twitter at Carrie NPR. Back in just a minute, more of your calls and your questions. Phil Picardi keeping an eye on the news coming out of Hoboken, New Jersey. And Phil, what are you learning?
Hi, Carrie. A New Jersey Transit spokeswoman says that more than 100 people were injured, some critically, when a commuter train plowed into the Hoboken station this morning. At least one fatality has also been reported. The train from New York crashed during the morning rush hour. It caused serious damage to both the train and the station. The transit spokeswoman, Jennifer Nelson, says she does not know how fast the train was going when it ran into the rail bumper at the end of the line. A passenger says the train did not slow down at all. A hospital spokesperson told CNN there is no one else trapped in the train. The UN Refugee Agency's representative in Iraq is warning a looming military operation against the Islamic State group in Mosul has the potential to be one of the largest man-made disasters for many, many years. Bruno Ghetto of UNHCR says more than 1 million people could be displaced by the campaign to retake the largest ISIS-held city. The government has pledged to retake Mosul this year, but has not announced a date for that operation. Officials say a wildfire threatening hundreds of structures in a remote area of California's Santa Cruz Mountains continues to grow. Cal Fire Battalion Chief Jeremy Ron says the flames have scorched more than 6 square miles of trees and dry brush in steep terrain south of San Jose, California. And authorities are allowing some residents to return to their homes and other properties in Cedar Rapids as flood evacuation zones are cleared. Utility crews worked Wednesday to restore service to some areas near the rain-swollen Cedar River, which rose to its second highest crest on record a day earlier. Parts of downtown Cedar Rapids and the western side of the city were reopened after the Iowa National Guard moved barricades, shrinking the evacuation zone that gave residents and business owners access to 2,500 properties, though some areas remain closed. More news ahead on NPR News. The time now is 10:42.
I'm Tom Weber. Next hour on NPR News, I'll speak with two Twin Cities police chiefs who recently went to Somalia to work with communities there and here. What have they learned and how does that inform larger debates on policing? We'll discuss at 11.
Support for this program comes from the Women's Foundation of Minnesota, investing in innovation to drive gender equity through grant-making, research, and policy, providing leadership to end sex trafficking in Minnesota. WFMN.org.
Programming is supported by Great River Energy, providing reliable electric service to 28 Minnesota member co-ops with a diverse mix of power generation, including power plants and renewable energy. Great River Energy, powering what's possible.
ClimateCast is supported by Benjamin Franklin Plumbing, Together with Mike Rowe, Benjamin Franklin Plumbing supports skilled plumbers who have the tools and expertise to get the job done right the first time. 877-BEN-1776.
Have you ever been curious about what happens behind the scenes of the show? In the studio where I am, in the control room where the team is, I shot a couple of little videos this morning, and you can watch them on Twitter if you hang out with me, at Carrie, K-E-R-R-I-M-P-R. Back to our conversation, Anatoly Lieberman in the studio, and we're talking about slang. Hey, Des is listening in this morning, our friend, the musician, and she says, in some communities, I'd venture slang is the lingua franca, not ornamental. Academic English might not be the default setting.
I think that's quite right.
I do too. That
is because the line between what we call jargon and slang is so very easy to cross. Everybody's professional language is slang. For example, if you're a musician and are using the word gig, is gig slang or is it a word of common English?
I'll bet Dessa would have the answer to that.
I think it's a word of common English.
I do too, because everybody. But a gig is a gig. Right. But when it was. And now gig means a whole lot of different things.
Oh, yes,
right?
Of course.
Because we talk about the gig economy. I did a show on that a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
But when it started, it was inside language for musicians.
And very few people understood it. And we had a lot of slang from jazz, then from rock, now from rap, which were clearly professional slang. But the more people knew it, the less slangy these words sounded.
If you've got professional slang in the job that you do and the work you do, I'd love to hear about that. We've got pretty busy phone lines here. You could tweet it to me, at Carrie NPR, to Ashley in Anoka. Hey, Ashley, hi.
Hi.
Hey.
So about 5 years ago, I heard a family member use the word toodles to say goodbye. And ever since then, I've been using it on a daily basis, which a lot of people have come to expect from me.
You picked that right up that day and you started using it? That's funny.
Right. Well, I see it as a very lighthearted, kind of playful goodbye. But, you know, I'll run into those folks that I don't use that word around very much, and they'll kind of give me a little odd look or ask me because they don't expect somebody in their mid-20s to be using that word. But I was wondering if there's an origin behind where this word came from or when it was used.
Do you know? It sounds British.
It does. It does. As I said at the beginning of our talk, there is no hope of answering such questions. Where did a certain slang word come from? The great Oxford English Dictionary, which gives all the origins that it knows, when there is a slang word, says one thing about the origin, in brackets, slang. And that's
all. That's it.
And that's it.
You get no more description than that.
As a rule.
It's the easy way out.
It's the easy way out, but it's probably also the honest way out, because most often we do not know the origin of such words. Some words are simply colorful. That is, especially words, for example, like gig. It's so nice to use words which begin and end in the same way. Bib, did, gig, pip.
Why is that? Why do we like that? Just the consonant sound of it?
It feels good
to say it?
Yes, they sound playful.
Right.
Did, bib, gig, kick. especially with budda, guh, and putta, kuh. And what is the origin? Well, there is really no origin. These are words which should not have been born. And yet they were born and are very happy and despise the aristocrats of our language. So with origins is hard. And it also sounds British to me, as it sounds to you, though one can never trust one's instinct today with our media being all over the world. One never really knows. But that's a good point. There is American slang, and we're naturally talking about American slang here, but there is British slang. Every time I open a British newspaper, I see words which I have never seen, do not understand, have to look them up. Oh, yes, they are in the dictionary. They exist. I've never seen them, and I'm sure that every Britisher knows them, but I don't, because I haven't seen them in those newspapers. And Australian slang, which is especially hard for me to understand when I read Australian books.
It's kind of slang unto itself, isn't it?
It is.
It's really colorful.
It is. And even the words which are very well known in Australia may not be known anywhere else. For example, a hoodlum is a larrikin in Australia.
Is what?
Larrikin.
Larrikin.
Larrikin. Okay. K-I-N at the end.
Okay.
Larrikin. As though a little Larry or something like that. and a good deal has been written. Of course, I know it from reading. I've never lived in Australia, so I don't know the word from everyday life. But I try the word on very many people whom I know. No one has heard this word in this country unless they read Australian novels. So those listeners who have some knowledge of British slang and Australian slang, Canadian slang, may remain certain that this is local slang and not universal slang. There is nothing universal about slang, of course.
You alluded to something that we haven't talked about a minute ago, which is, and I think Dessa was thinking about this too, is slang that comes out of class differences, where a certain class or an income level or a group within that class will use slang, again, to seem inclusionary, but also to be satirical or mocking or rude about somebody in a different class, usually a higher class, right?
Yes, of course, because we always want to mock our superiors. Naturally, we envy them, and that's why we mock.
Right.
Naturally, our taunts are barbed arrows, but that's true. But the same thing, of course, when people high up there speak about those who are with contempt about what was called in British novels in the days of Oscar Wilde, lower classes. So slang, I think, goes up and down. They're like barbs and taunts that exchange hostages. And I'm sure that in the slums of London, you would not understand one third of what you hear. Take Oliver Twist, which is full of slang. Almost every word used by those people has a note in a modern edition. I'm sure that modern Englishmen have no idea what these words mean. They're dead. But that is something that is also called thieves' cant. There is such a word, cant, which means a jargon, language, slang. So thieves' cant, from cant, chant. It seemed that beggars and thieves used to speak in some sing-song way, trying to wheedle money out of you.
So that's this was cant.
That is C-A-N-T. Cant. Chanting.
Right.
Really, so cant.
Right.
So international slang is not international. It's local, and sometimes it's even tied to a certain locality, to one state, to one group, and of course to one professional group, as you said.
Listen to this on that, Anatoly. Julie, who's a physician, says, as a doctor, we use whack the whack, work after clinic, which is all the paperwork we're required to complete after patient care.
Well, that's so, classical slang, of course.
And it's something that, should you say that to a doctor, they'd probably know exactly what you meant. So should you say it to a patient, they'd have no idea what you're talking about.
And of course not.
That's really inclusionary.
Yes, that's inside slang.
It is.
Of course.
Yeah. George just tweeted me a photo of a record. I don't even know what this thing is. No, I do. A record on a turntable, and where groovy comes from. Oh, we have somebody who knows about Tootles. To Jim. In Rochester. Jim, you know about Tootles.
Yeah. It's a corruption of Tootaloo, which people used to say back in the day, and that itself is a corruption of the French Tootalahour, which means I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Quite correct.
Right.
Quite correct. I happen to know that too. It's one of the extremely few slang words whose origin I know on the spot. Yes, that's correct.
And then the slang that I wanted to bring back, I haven't heard since the 70s, is that's righteous.
That's righteous. Okay. Right.
That's an old way of saying something was cool or that's really good or that's righteous.
I think people would know what you meant if you sprinkled that into your lingo, don't you?
Yeah, except I just keep forgetting to use it until a show like us comes on.
it's
not only
weekend.
Such slang, which is sort of understood today. Today, when we plan something, we never have plans. We always have visions. So we are visionary. our plans
sounds more grandiose, doesn't it?
Of course, right. Of course. Not too long ago, we had, I think in the 70s or in the 60s, we always had objectives. Nobody uses the word objectives today.
You're talking about business slang,
yes,
and lingo. That's good.
Business lingo, sort of business. But yes, something that people use to sound grand. All slang has the same function. It makes you immediately noticeable in the crowd. And there are so many of us, it's so hard to be noticed, that language is one of the greatest tools for making oneself conspicuous, look conspicuous. So you say some word, you may be an absolute fool, but if you have visions for the next 5 years, it's clear that you are a grand old man of your profession.
Denise says, I'm a photographer. When someone is looking at the photo on the back of your camera, you are chimping. I've never heard that.
Neither have I.
It's good,
but
I get it.
But it's a very transparent word. You can guess. Incidentally, all those abbreviations that we have, they're also slang. The word chimp itself is slang.
Oh, that's right.
After all, because they are not chimps. But today, chimp doesn't sound emotional or too colorful. That's the word you constantly use.
It is. To Mark in West St. Paul. Hi, Mark. Thanks for waiting.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
I had a question. I am actually in the west side of St. Paul, but my question has to do with a piece of slang. I think it's slang. And actually, you've used it about 8 times in this hour, and it's okay. And
yeah.
I wondered, my understanding was that it started from the 1836 election of Martin Van Buren, and he was known as Old Kinderhook. But I wondered if you'd also comment on this particular word, because it's universal, and I don't think we consider it slang anymore, but it's an interesting feature of our language.
And obviously, I don't realize how often I use it. I had no idea I'd said it 8 times in this hour.
There are 2 thick books on the origin of the word okay. And many people...
Books devoted just to okay.
To the history of the word okay. Yes, with Old Kinderhook, it's correct. And a lot is known. And also the other half of the story is the famous all correct, spelled with O-K or misspelled with O-K. And several people have made their careers discussing the origin of O-K, but... As far as we're concerned, yes, it was slang once upon a time, and it's the best-known word in American English that has conquered the world, no doubt. Okay is absolutely universal, and it's quite correct. It was slang. All such novelties start as slang and then have 2 ways to develop. Either they die, as they sometimes deserve, or they flourish, as they also sometimes deserve, and even stop being slang. I think every slang word dreams of stopping being slang. That's the slang word's greatest ambition.
That's their vision. That's their objective.
That's the objective. That's the the grand vision. Yes.
Call here from Jay on the road. Hi, Jay. What do you want to talk about?
Hi, I'm a fellow public radio colleague from Maine Public Radio.
Ah.
I'm headed back there now.
Okay.
Something I've enjoyed picking up the last 15 years that I've been going back and forth from Minnesota to Maine is the use of the word dia, and that is men in the workshop, rough and tumble boat builders or lobstermen, referring to each other dia. How are we gonna get this mast off, dia?
Really?
And the first time I heard that, I went, what? It has nothing to do with overly familiarity with men and men, but it's extremely common. It's just very interesting, and I think it goes all the way back to the early 1700s. It just means friend or buddy or pal. And the other one that's very ubiquitous in Maine is wicked. Instead of using
wicked,
fairy, it's very cold. It's wicked cold.
Wicked
and if
cold.
It's below zero, it's some wicked cold, Dia. I know you're out of time. I'm a radio guy, so I'll let you go.
Jay, I have one question for you, though. I mean, yes. Are you from Maine or are you from here?
I am from Anoka, Minnesota.
What did you think when you heard men using Dia to one another at first? It probably took you a while to figure it out, didn't it?
I had to ask for an interpreter, someone else who is from the Midwest, like myself, who was working in a boatyard in Brooklyn, Maine, right down the road from the home of E.B. White. And I went, what did he just say? Oh, he just said, yeah, that just means buddy or pal or co-worker. And I went, okay. And then it was explained to me very succinctly that it just goes back 2.5 centuries to the early British.
Which may be quite true, but don't believe that language gossip, because there is a lot of legendary stuff there. Perhaps that's the origin, or perhaps it's not. That's just somebody's opinion. May be true. I'm not quite sure. Of course, if it is in Maine, it's quite possible that a piece of 17th century English is a relic there. But in general, when someone says, oh, I know the origin of a word, whether it is slang or not, always treat it with, I wanted to say with caution, and perhaps that's the right word, because very many people think they know the origin of the word, and it turns out to be wrong.
I love having Jay call because we really didn't talk that much about colloquial slang, and we're out of time. Can we do that again sometime?
Oh, yes.
All right. So just very specific colloquial slang.
That's a good idea.
Okay. We'll see you
yes,
again.
Yes, dear.
And right back at you, Anatoly. Great to have you here.
Well, I'll it was quite a pleasure and a lively subject, and I'm glad we chose it.
Good to have you.